They are not representing themselves. What they are going to say actually is the experience of millions of other farm dwellers and farm workers in our country. Their names from the left is Mrs. Dorcas Litswalo, who hails from a farm called Ripkop, just outside Polokwane. As my colleague has already indicated, she has she was born in 1961 and she worked for she worked and lived in a farm from 1975. In fact, as a family with her husband, they worked there from, let me say, from 1973 until their eviction until their illegal eviction and unfair dismissal last year by the landowner, whose name I can only mention in person, actually. And here is Mr. Al Ramazwi. He's from Baltimore, one of the hotspots of eviction and enslavement, exploitation in the Bombo. Since they are here, they will actually tell their story, but they are not conversant in English, so they will tell their story in Sepedi, and I will actually do the translation. First, will be Mr. Hans Ramazwi. Let me indicate from your onset that we don't have water for in the farm where I live, or we have been denied access to water. For the past 3 years, we have been denied access to water. About this thing of minimum wage, it hasn't been, from where I come from, this thing of minimum wage hasn't been applied, actually. People just get less than what the government has actually recommended. When the government says they must be paid at least 900, they will get anything from around 700 rands. There will be a lot of fictitious deductions ranging from electricity, water, and all these services that are not actually being provided.
Basically, that is the amount which
the employer or the commercial farmer want to pay. Choose is what you want to pay each one. Yeah, they are actually using foreigners, illegal foreigners actually, in the place of locals. Basically, what he's saying is that they will actually prefer to employ illegal foreigners to locals, because foreigners can be paid anything and they have no recourse to the justice system. We have to request our political leadership to ensure that justice is actually done in farms. The Department of Land Affairs has failed, this man failed to assist us as farm dwellers. I've spoken to officials from the Department of Land Affairs several times, but that hasn't yielded any fruit. When we call them, when they arrive in the farm, when they arrive at the farm, they talk to the landowner and they hardly talk to us. There have been several incidents where our people were deliberately run over by cars by the commercial farmers, and when this case were reported, no justice was actually effected. I know of four people who happen to be two women and two men who have been deliberately hit by a car driven by a commercial farmer. We reported the cases, but nothing has happened.
le roi le kuma la batswana le history mo plaseng.
Yeah, in some instances people have had more than 50 years of living on the farm. And then because he has money, he buys the land and says, this is my land. Now he actually refuses the residents or the farm dwellers access to water and firewood. You go and report this at the police station, they tell you to go and look for your piece of land.
And
they don't even come to the farm to check on the problem. But when they are called by the commercial farmer, they literally fly to the farm. Our people have been complaining about the kind of injustice meted out by these commercial farmers in farming areas. There is a commercial farmer by the name of Mr. Kubo van Sade. In farms called Svarakoma, Nantes, and Triple Bosch. These people, they have been harassing people in these three farms for a very long time. They have no proper houses.
So they don't have a lot of money.
We request our government to buy land from these commercial farmers because they know they don't even produce food. What they do is to keep lots of dangerous animals in this farm. Yeah, so that they must buy this land so that they can be able to build houses for these farm dwellers. In fact, what is basically saying is that farm dwellers must have land of their own in order to ensure that these problems are actually resolved. Yeah, but in order for people to live comfortably in farms.
So what is
the game to the LPF? In fact, I'm sorry, this what he's saying is that the fact that some people are still living in those farms, particularly in the Baltimore area, is because of the intervention by Nkosi Development Association with a little assistance from the Landless People's Movement. Was it not for these two organizations? People will be, the amount of suffering in the farm will actually baffle your imagination. People have actually, in fact, some of that have actually approached the labor department, but they haven't received any help.
But over the 20 years, some of the blue cards I come here, it's a little college.
A person works for over 20 years for a commercial farmer, and the least he expects at the end of the 20 years is just a blue card, that is the UIF. And in terms of that blue card, you will end up saying that, the information contained in the day-in will indicate that the person worked for only a year in that farm. Because our people are generally illiterate, that is, they can neither read nor write.
Please, Muso out to share battle, Bakupel.
We humbly request you as our political leadership to come to our assistance with immediate effect. As long as commercial farmers have the backing of the police, these illegal evictions will continue unabated. When they are called by us as farm dwellers and farm workers, they don't actually come. Because all they are actually looking at is the interest of the commercial farmer. There's been lots of cases or lots of crimes that have been committed by these farmers, but there has been no justice that has been meted out to these farmers. You just hear, you are just told that the case has been. In fact, they will just tell you that you don't have a case against the farmer. The police are actually giving they're actually assisting these commercial farmers in this satanic project of evicting people. Our mayor, that is the Andalipale municipality, our mayor has made a lot of promises about how she's going to help us. She will promise to come to the farm, but it will just end up being a promise. She never find time to come and attend to our problems in farms. During election time, that's where you really get to see the mayor full time, you know. Even as I was speaking, she's hardly aware about the plight of her people since she hardly come to the farm when they actually asked her to. We have no access to clinics. We have no school access to schools. Our children walk anything up to 5 kilometers to school. Yeah, we're talking about 7-year-old kids who are supposed to be enjoying their school days. My ABC. The police can actually come to the farm on the invitation of the farmers who harass us as farm dwellers and farm workers. Today I actually received a report that one of the employees in Van Staden farm has died.
So I feel like the
the family has actually approached, I'm sorry, some of the things I'm gonna try to do they should actually be contextual. What he's saying is that an employee at Van Staden farm died, and when the family of the deceased approached him for compensation, I mean, that woman has been working there for a very long time, he tells them he's not the one who instructed her to die.
So,
he gave them, I mean, this Mr. Van Staden gave them 200 rand as a compensation for all the years that this woman worked. Because I know this, so let me tell you that this woman has worked in that farm ever since she was able to walk. I thank you for giving me this opportunity. And now, can I keep the close to the doctor? As I indicated, her name is Dorcas Litualo. Yeah, from Ridcock Farm. Or rather, she's a former resident of Ridcock Farm because she has been evicted together with her family. I think the eviction took place in towards the end of June last year. Illegal, I should say, illegal eviction. Greetings to all. My name is Dorcas Litualo.
Ulukwani.
Coming from Ulukwani.
Lasinga Ridcock.
I come from Rico Farm in the business of Bulukwani, that is formerly Peter's Bay.
You told me that was about 1975.
I started working in the farm in 1975.
You were about
Dawud Sey. I worked for the Honorable Mr. Dawud Sey.
All right, you know what I was saying.
He visited us last year.
And our rest number of Dula.
We have no alternative accommodation.
No one will have number of Dula.
Even as I'm speaking now, we don't even have a proper place to stay.
Or if you let my son go hard.
He gave us, among the scraps that he gave us were old things. That's where my children are currently staying.
And I have a refusal.
Doesn't want to give us anything after all those years. The parents indicate that they have done well for the same man and same farm from
1973. Yeah. Okay. Oh, I just want to tell you that
I'm asking whether, I want to know whether the government cannot provide accommodation or whether it cannot build a house, a proper house for me and my family.
Hey, Gara, so far.
Because we're suffering. We don't even have food since we lost our job. So some of it is my addition. Since both me and my husband were unfairly dismissed from our work. We don't even have access to the clinic.
Did you go there at an airport?
My children used to walk very long distance to access school.
What's next to let that right school?
If there was no money for transport or for food, then you will know that it would be proper to send them to school. We use that to send them to school. That's about it. Since I assisted Doka, let me make some few additions. In fact, we tried to take a matter together with her husband to the CCMA, and the ruling of the CCMA was, to say the least, an insult. After all those years of hard labor, I mean, they literally built that farm together with her husband, the commissioner, decided that he deserved only 600 rand. In terms of dollars, how much is that? 600 rand. Not enough to feed an American cow for 2 weeks, you know? So, yeah. So, as it stands, they don't have a proper place. They live in, you can't even call it a shack, actually. Just a makeshift, something that nobody should live in South Africa, you know? So, I thank you. I think they can take questions.
Karada?
Thank you, Chair, and we thank you for the space to allow Dorcas and Hans to come here and tell a bit of their experiences on farms in the Limpopo province. I just am going to spend a bit of time adding a bit more context to the personal stories that have just been told. And I will just look at just a bit of background to remind ourselves of where we're coming from in terms of land dispossession in South Africa, because from our perspective, we think it's always important to constantly remind ourselves as to why farm dwellers live in the conditions that they live in, and why we push for legislation to strengthen rights and to protect people against illegal evictions and other abuses. And then I'll just touch on again some of the key findings from the eviction survey, simply because as far as we're concerned, in the statistical world, the findings of the survey are still quite valid and they resonate in people's lives still today. So we'll just remind ourselves of the crisis that we reported on previously, and remind ourselves that the crisis is ongoing and still exists. And then some suggestions on what the Portfolio Committee on Land and Agriculture might do to assist in addressing these issues, and look at what are the challenges and what more is needed from the department and from other government departments. So, but I won't take a long time. Okay, all right, so then I won't go through all of this about the history of dispossession, because I think we're all aware of where we've come from. But just to remind us that there's still nearly 3 million people, primarily black South Africans, who live and work on farms owned by others, predominantly white owners, and who still face human rights abuses, including evictions from farms. And to remind ourselves, in terms of the Constitution, no one may be evicted from their home or have their homes demolished without an order of court. In terms of the background of the work that we've done, Inclusion Social Survey published the eviction survey 2 years ago, which presented the number of people who've been evicted from farms. There was extensive consultation and dissemination of those survey findings, including a presentation to this Portfolio Committee. And we come here to note today that there's really been no progress from what we see in the work that we've been doing in Limpopo and Gauteng provinces. There's been no real progress in combating illegal evictions or legal evictions, because we will note that some farmers do try and follow the legal processes in evicting people from farms, but then farm dwellers don't have access to legal representation and other assistance that they should be getting, particularly from the state. Oh, I'm going the wrong way. Yes, and that's just what I've just said. Department of Justice has long promised training programs which haven't come. There's been no coordinated interdepartmental approach regarding game farming, which we've called for and which Hans reported on in the area that he lives in. Many of the farms and much of what's driving some of the evictions are conversion of commercial farms into game farming, which we know requires less labor and creates unsafe environments for people to live. There's no long-term policy in place for legal representation. There's no available statistics still from the Department of Land Affairs on the number of Section 4 subsidies, which is the provision within ESTA which allows for the creation of long-term tenure security, and allows for space for there to be collaboration between the state and farm owners to look for long-term tenure security either on or off farm. And then finally, the law and policy reform that has long been promised from the state has still not come to the fore. We came together as civil society in 1999 with the Department of Land Affairs to look at experiences with implementation of ESTA and the Labor Tenants Act. At that time, the department promised that the legislation would be consolidated into one act to deal with people on farms. At that time, the department promised that the rights of farm dwellers would be improved and strengthened to combat what was then known to be a problem with evictions. And here we are nearly 11 years later, and there's not even a draft bill circulating for comment. So we note that as a serious problem in moving us forward, and the blockage actually in moving us forward in dealing with these issues. Just in terms of the survey that Inclusive Development Association conducted in partnership with Social Survey, the overall objective of the survey was to obtain accurate information on the extent, nature, and impact of evictions from farms, and it was hoped that that information would be used in developing future legislative and programmatic interventions. Inclusi, as everyone knows, is a land rights NGO operating in Limpopo and Gauteng. We entered into partnership with Social Surveys, which is a private research company that has no real interest in land issues. They are a research company with statistical capacity. We did that so that we would be removed from the process of gathering the information, so that we would remove ourselves from accusations of bias and having secret other agendas. So the survey was conducted by a private company that had no interest in skewing the findings in either direction. The survey assessed evictions over a 21-year period from 1984 to 2004, Just to note, we were supported by Atlantic Philanthropies, the Foundation for Human Rights, the Open Society Foundation, and the Department of Land Affairs, the funding that the department had from USAID. So this was a very important step on our part because, again, we wanted the state to realize that we were trying to gather this information not as an attack against the state, but as a way to assist the state in measuring the extent of the problem that they were facing and to look at how to deal with that problem and come up again with concrete and sustainable solutions. So that's the background. Just to again inform people of what the findings from the survey were, we found that over the 21-year period, nearly 2 million people were evicted from farms, 4.4 million people were displaced from farms. All of those displacements were not evictions, but they were people who did move, and you'll hear from the agricultural unions now that people do leave rural areas to go to urban areas in search of better jobs, better pay, and other things. And we recognize that. It is illustrated through the findings of the survey, but yet and still, nearly 2 million people over a 21-year period were evicted. People who did not want to leave the place that they had lived and worked on, but were told to leave by an owner. Very few of those people were evicted in terms of a court order, only 1%. And nearly a million of those people were evicted after the new dispensation came in. So after 1994, nearly a million people had been evicted from farms. We have in some way validated this finding because you will hear, I'm sure, from the agricultural union some doubts around the findings, but we have checked we've checked census data from 1980, and if you track the census data and population growth in South Africa and the number of people who lived on farms in 1980, if there had been a natural growth in people on farms, there should have been around 7 million people living on commercial farms today. That number is down to 3 million. Our survey shows that 4 million people have been displaced from farms. 4 plus 3 is 7. And I can show you the slide. I can give you the information from the census data, which illustrates that these are quite sound and realistic findings. In terms of who's been evicted from farms, 77% of evictees are women and children. Again, this doesn't go against the demographics of South Africa. We know that the majority of the population in this country are women and children. But what it does illustrate is that people who are evicted are not male transitory workers. They are families who live together on farms, who have lives on farms. In terms of assistance that farm dwellers got when they were evicted, most people got no assistance at all. Two-thirds wanted assistance, didn't know where they could find it. We hear from Dorcas and Hans that most of the assistance that they've received while living on farms, and Dorcas, since she's been evicted, has been from civil society, and Kuzi in particular. And I think that experience is repeated and could be illustrated from other parts of the country. There are other people who are representing NGOs from KwaZulu-Natal and Cape Town and Western Cape here today. If there's space for them to perhaps tell a bit of their experiences, I think that would be important to hear as well. In terms of what we think this portfolio committee can do to assist farm dwellers, we recognize that the portfolio committee in Parliament has an oversight responsibility. In using that oversight responsibility, we think that this committee should call on the Departments of Land Affairs and Justice to account for their failure to develop and resource a program which ensures that farm dwellers are provided with free legal assistance. Kuzi took the state to court in 2001, got a judgment in 2001, which held that the Departments of Justice and Land Affairs have an obligation to provide free legal assistance to farm dwellers whose tenure is threatened. And since 2001, there's still been no program put into place. In fact, it's again civil society who's risen to the challenge. Civil society set up what's known as the Rural Legal Trust to source, again, donor money to provide legal assistance throughout South Africa. And again, we think it's a bit unfair that the burden falls on under-resourced, overstretched civil society organizations to provide a range of services that in reality, in terms of the Constitution and various court judgments, those obligations rest with the state. We asked the committee to use its oversight responsibility to call the DLA, and I'm happy to see that they're here, to account for not including amendments to SNLTA, those long-promised amendments in the current legislative program for 2008. We're up to 11 years after that was promised. And to convene an urgent sitting, we think it's important perhaps that the Justice Portfolio Committee and this committee sit together to look at what are the challenges around provision of legal services for farm dwellers. And we also note that this committee should have a responsibility to ensure that government creates a dedicated budget for implementation of a sustainable program, not just ESTA, but a holistic program of dealing with tenure insecurity on farms. And how do you do that when land affairs comes with their budget? Perhaps the question should be asked, well, where's the budget line for farm dweller support and implementation around farm dweller legislation and policy? There should be a program to proactively identify farm dwellers and confirm their rights so the state has an indication of what is the extent of the rights of people on farms and what it might cost to secure these rights. We think there should be improved monitoring and evaluation from the Department of Land Affairs. Again, we're getting called back to present findings from our survey. It was hoped when we conducted the eviction survey that, again, the Department of Land Affairs would take on the methodology and use the baseline findings to continue to monitor what's happening with people once they are evicted from farms and to carry on monitoring the ongoing evictions from farms to see if at all their policy is having any impact. A better gathering of court and monitoring of court decisions. We did a bit of it during the eviction survey, but again, to track the extent to which farm dwellers are obtaining legal assistance, we know from our own experiences in Limpopo and Gauteng that it's a big challenge. Nkusi has a legal unit, and we have a lawyer from the Rural Legal Trust, but it's not nearly enough capacity to deal with all of the evictions that we come up with in Limpopo and Gauteng, so we know that we're not covering the problem, but we don't know the extent to which people are being still evicted without court order, so we think there should be a monitoring system in place to track that. And we think that farm dwellers should be prioritized, particularly evictees, in looking at options for sustainable settlements in commercial farming areas. The remaining challenges, there'll be a bit of repetition here, but it's clear from our perspective that a multi-pronged approach is needed, which will tighten up legislation, including creating a category of non-evictable occupiers. This, to some people, sounds quite radical, but we think that some people who have lived their entire lives on farms and don't know any other place, that justice calls for these people to hear from the state that they have a right to remain where they are and not be moved to so-called other accommodation or any place else. That if you've lived on a farm for Dorcas, in the case of Dorcas, for 35 years, and other people we work with have lived even longer, people who are 60, 70, 80 years old in some instances, born on farms, so they're living on portions of land that no one with any living memory has ever had productive use of. So the notion that they cannot stay and live out their lives on those portions of land to us seems the ultimate injustice, and that we think that justice calls for a recognition and acknowledgement from the state that some people have a right to stay and live where they've always lived out their lives. And I don't think that that's a radical suggestion or solution to a real problem. We think that the state needs to implement a well-resourced program of information dissemination and enforcement. The majority of people who were interviewed during the eviction survey noted that they didn't know anything about land rights legislation. They didn't know what their rights were. They didn't know where they could get assistance. So that's a failure on all of our parts. I mean, we try, and I know this, the Department of Land Affairs has run various communications campaigns, but this needs to be an ongoing effort because we haven't reached everybody, and people are being evicted without knowledge of their rights. We think there needs to be a proactive creation of new sustainable settlements, and these settlements need to be in farming communities. They don't need that. We should stop thinking in terms of old apartheid spatial planning, where black people need to be moved to villages and townships and put into RDP houses. But we think the state needs to be a bit creative and look for solutions that give people living and working opportunities within commercial farming areas. We think that there needs to be a solution in separating tenure and employment rights so that if someone is becomes unemployed, so like Dorcas and her husband, after working for 35 years, the old man, the farm owner, died. His son took over the farm, and the son decided he didn't want them there anymore. He terminated their employment. As Vasco said, we went to the CCMA, and we were unsuccessful in the CCMA. The loss in employment led directly to an illegal eviction. So we think that there needs to be a recognition and enforcement of the bifurcation of tenure and employment rights to protect people against losing their homes and livelihoods once they lose their jobs. And we think that farm dwellers need to be prioritized, farm dwellers and evictees, for sustainable settlements, again, within commercial farming areas that go beyond RDP housing and creates real production opportunities. In the survey that we found, of the 1 million people who were evicted since 1994, 24% said that they would have liked to have stayed on the farm. They would like to go back to farming life. They would like to have access to productive use of land. There was a dramatic decrease in terms of access to productive land, access to livestock, and other livelihood opportunities once people were evicted from farms. So we think that the interest is there. The experience and knowledge is there. People have worked and lived on farms all of their lives. They've learned. They've learned from commercial farmers. They do the work. So they should have opportunities to produce for themselves, not just for other people. And then finally, we think that it's really about the overall vision should be about creating a new dispensation in farming areas that recognizes that there is a need for and a viable commercial farming sector. We don't call for the breaking down of large commercial farms. We know that that is a reality in South Africa and the rest of the world. But we think that those commercial farms can exist and operate and be profitable and feed the nation alongside opportunities for people who can produce on small farms and have settlements for farm dwellers. Thank you. And I think it's up to all of us to ensure that farm dwellers can enjoy human rights and dignity. Thanks.
Thanks, Teresa. There was no attitude on our side to have only one NGO presenting. I'm sure Parliament and this committee, it belongs to all South Africans, so we always be willing to give an ear to anybody that wants to talk to the committee. But I'm sure wherever they are, they should be excited about your presentation because you have spoken on their behalf. Next, it would be Dow SA. Mr. Jani Ro. Am I right?
Môre, voorzitter, baie dankie vir die geleentheid wat TLESA het om ook 'n inset te maak in hierdie komitee. TLESA wil weer eens...
Before we proceed, I'm addressing that point. Obviously, we have not been warned that the presentation will be in Africa. Can we get someone to do translation for us? So whilst we do that, in the meantime, we can take Agri. So I'll just get you someone from
translation. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Mr. Bosman, can take a slot while slot is putting up that logistic. Use her computer, perhaps that will bring up our fish. Mantis. Teresa, let's have a copy of it. We should be able to run copies now when other presentations are made. Give it to Madia. Teresa, give it to Madia for her to run copies. We only have AgriSA's presentation and I think also NAFU. Mr. Bosman.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, everybody. First of all, thank you very much for the opportunity for us also to make a presentation on this very, very important and emotional issue. We've got a hard copy, as you well know. I hope it has been distributed so that I need not go into very much detail, but just maybe have an overview on what we have written. Because I think it will be good if everyone can read the documentation which they have. As far as we are concerned, obviously the issue of farm evictions is a very sensitive, as you well have heard this morning, and emotional charged issue, but it is very complex. And I think looking back at it, we've been working with this since 1995, 96, when the Labour Tenures Act was put in place, the Extension of Security of Tenure Act, the ESTA one which we're talking about. And obviously, right from the start, there were some issues that were controversial. I think this is also illustrated to some extent by the controversy maybe surrounding Communal Rights Act. And also that we believe that this is the case, that because of the tenure reform programs, attempts to balance the competing rights on the same land is very important, because this is actually what this is all about. It's trying to put in place different scenarios where people can live together or have better environments for themselves. As with many other things, part of the problem is that there is no reliable stats, and we've listened to Nkuzi, and I'm not really going into very much detail, although we have discussed it before, and I think the first problem that we have with the Nkuzi figures is that it is old figures, and there are various reasons, as you well have heard, for the reasons why that is so. I'm not going to go into that, but I think we need to have a progress report type of statistics available to really monitor what is happening in South Africa. And as far as that is concerned, I think we have also got some figures from the Department of Land Affairs, and also some questions were put to the Minister in the Parliament, of which we have got some stats back, although we believe that the information that was given is contradictory, and always also not really in all cases refers to real evictions that have taken place. If I can then turn to evictions, I think it is regulated by a number of laws, as I said, the ESTA, the Prevention of Illegal Evictions and Unlawful Occupation of Land Act, and the Labour Tenures Act, and I think the focus of this is obviously predominantly on the ESTA Act. Although we must maybe take this opportunity to also express our concern about the PIE Act and also the proposed amendments to that Act. In our view, the PIE gives very little protection to landowners against large-scale land invasions, such as was experienced with the Modder Club case, as you well know, that we've taken that right through all the courts to the Constitutional Court. And in that case, the state has, it has been pointed out that the state has a responsibility to act where large-scale and other invasions occur. So the proposed amendments to PIE do not seem to take Modder Club ruling into account, and I think we would like to also have that situation being looked at. I think where large-scale invasions do occur, I think it needs, obviously we will agree with me, it needs swift action, and it needs to be taken before escalation of this situation can take place. And maybe I can refer you to the recent case in the Delft area here in Cape Town, where it had to also be undertaken that people have been removed from houses. So the need for that type of issue is really with us. We believe, however, that local forums could be established in rural areas to help speed up the land reform and to identify available land and also potential trouble spots to find proactive solutions to this problem. If I can turn quickly to the current law and the recommendations of the Land Summit, we believe that obviously, as I've shown, that there is a law dealing with farm evictions. But we also believe that there are quite a number of shortfalls in this Act, and we would like to also maybe see that the review of this takes place. I think, therefore, if we look at it, the call for a moratorium on evictions by certain groups, I think, do not make sense, because the Act itself is actually already a moratorium on illegal evictions. Anybody that wants to evict people must make use of this law to evict people. So it is actually a moratorium on evictions, if you can look at it that way. The shortfalls in the Act, necessary amendments can be effected by Parliament. If the implementation is lacking, that should be looked in. And obviously, if any other issues needs to be looked in, it must be done. But there has already been talk of this amendment, and it was maybe stated also this morning that there is, since 2004, there are talks of amending it. However, up to date, the current law is still in place, and obviously it tries to balance the fragile rights of occupiers and landowners. And the Department of Land Affairs is thus in a very difficult position, as some of the amendments called for by the Land Summit will either be unconstitutional or impractical. Any permanent rights granted to occupiers, such as creating a class of non-evictable occupiers, will amount to de facto expropriation of land, and landowners will have to be compensated for this. I refer you to Section 25 of the Constitution, which obviously gives protection to this property rights. The issue of a moratorium on evictions needs to be argued, because there are continuous calls for it, and I can just maybe call on a couple of issues. As I said, in our view is that the present law is in fact a moratorium on illegal evictions. Secondly, AGE is of the view that moratorium on illegal evictions will be unconstitutional, as this will amount to expropriation without compensation. Thirdly, a moratorium on legal evictions will in some cases lead to conflict, not only between landowners and occupiers, but also between occupiers. And we have the cases where people are living on the same farm where the occupiers themselves have requested that people be act against, and also if that does not happen, it can lead to all sorts of violence, and also other threats to occupiers living on the same farm. For these reasons, evictions should always be a possibility, and the requirements for legal evictions should not be so strict, or the process so cumbersome and expensive that it takes and makes it impossible for people to be evicted from farms in this case. The problems with ESPA, very shortly, if I can look at that, I think we first of all, I must say, I don't think we must give the impression that AgriSA is completely against ESTA, but we must identify some shortcomings, and I think the negative unintended consequences that arises from this Act must be brought under your attention again. First of all, it is a long, drawn-out and expensive process. Unemployed adult children or occupiers who live on the farms or move back to live with their parents often cause problems on the farms, and in such cases, or when unemployed families stay on the farms, the misuse of alcohol, drugs and other prevalent or issues which leads to criminal and violent behavior does occur on the farms. Farm attacks is therefore a very real threat. Theft remain a huge problem, and uncontrolled access of visitors to unemployed
Farms growers is a security concern, which is a huge concern to us in the rural areas. There are also normally often conflicts over livestock numbers and grazing rights, and in some cases the number of livestock kept by occupiers far exceeds the agreed numbers, leading to overgrazing, obviously. I think the other issue is that ISPA obviously has a negative effect on farm value, and I think obviously we are as farm owners are quite concerned about that. The most important thing maybe is that farmers have limited numbers of houses for their workers and leave these houses for people who are actually working on the farm. And I think due to the ISPA, houses are nowadays not occupied by people who work on the farm, but actually they occupied by people who no longer work on the farm, and leaving no room really for new employees to be contracted. We also want to stress that we have got experience in Gauteng that the newcomers, the black farmers, especially in this area, are also experiencing huge problems with occupiers on government land, which they are leasing from government. And in many cases, these occupiers utilize the whole farm, overgrazing the land to such an extent that these farmers who are paying rent to the government for these farms cannot make a living at all. The extra rights obviously are very easily acquired, and if one look at it, if a person stays on the farm for merely one day and has erected a permanent structure on it, it can be seen as that he qualifies as an occupier. So there's no differentiation between how long you have stayed on that farm and maybe have a different scenario for that. There is a strong feeling always also amongst farmers that this law discriminates against the rural landowners and may as such be unconstitutional. You must understand it's only applicable to rural areas. There are also other sectors of the economy that do also occupy people, and we see it as a very discriminatory act. As far as that is concerned, that only farm owners must be targeted for this act. I think even so, although we've said it, AgriSA strongly feels that the laws are there for a reason and have to be complied with by all. My organization has always encouraged and trained its members to comply with the provision of ESA and has a strong stance against illegal evictions. If I can maybe just turn to a few of the stats which have been given to us this morning. I think obviously I've said it already, we do not really agree with the findings of the Nkosi report. That so many people have been evicted over the last 20 odd years. I must point out that the vast majority of these people have moved off themselves, and they are not obviously being illegally evicted. The report claims that only 1% of all these cases involves an illegal process. I think if you look at the figures, it simply cannot be true, because the Act only came into action in 1997. And the figures that was given to us this morning, again, I think it does not tally. If you make simple calculations, you will find that at the moment in 2002, if I remember correctly from the report, there were more than a million farm workers already on our farms, and we normally experience that they have about 5 to 6 dependents. So that already tallies to 7 million, and it was told this morning to the committee that there are only 3 million people left on the farm. So I just disagree with the figures at all. And I think what I say is that we should, if we want to quote figures, we must have a reliable source like Stats South Africa to bring us the information, and so that we can compare it with what has been to make sure that we can look at what is happening in future. I think what we must acknowledge, obviously, that there has been a big movement of people from the rural and urban to the urban areas for various reasons. I think it is obviously true that the number of permanent farm workers and employees today is significantly lower than the case was 20 years ago. If I can remember the figures correctly, it went down from 1.2 million in 1980 to about 940,000 at the moment, even lower if you look at the permanent workers themselves. So there are a lot of figures according also to Stats South Africa. The number of farming units, and that is quite important, decreased from about 56,000 in 1993, just over the last 10 years, to 45,800.
That also says and spells out for you the reason why the people living on in the rural areas have decreased, obviously, because of the economic activity that goes around it. I think it was also, and I mentioned it earlier, it was very recently that the Minister of Agriculture and Land Affairs replied formally to a formal question in Parliament on the so-called cases of illegal evictions. And the questions and the answers that the minister has given, I think it is also attached there that you can see for yourself. But I think if one studies the cases carefully, it became quite clear that these are mostly ESTA-related disputes over livestock, water and electricity, and not cases where people were thrown on the streets without a court order for their eviction. In most cases, there were still ongoing negotiations, and I think that makes it quite differently from an eviction that has taken place. One must also realize that. So if you look at the current situation, what I want to say is that it is fairly low. Obviously, we do concede that there are still evictions taking place, and obviously, if people are illegally evicted, it is obviously against that, we do not condone it. It is also interesting from that answer to note that the minister has given different numbers. For instance, no evictions was reported in Limpopo, which we heard this morning from the Northern Cape, Northwest and Mpumalanga in the recent years. So I just wanted to allude you to the fact that there are not real figures that we can rely on at the moment. If I can maybe turn to our position on farm worker housing, Agri-South Africa is in favour of the establishment of local forums in all districts consisting of representatives from local stakeholders to find local solutions for local problems. I think also as far as evictions are concerned and the availability of land and housing, it makes sense that those people can discuss it at that level. Unfortunately, the solution we believe lies in off-farm. Ultimately, the solution we believe relies on off-farm solutions. And I would say maybe enlighten you why we think so. We think that housing obviously forms a part of the assets that people can acquire, and it remains therefore also. It is in the interest of people who want to enhance their own position to have permanent housing which they can occupy. But housing and land reform obviously remains a government responsibility, and obviously the private individuals can only contribute, but it is not their primary responsibility. As I said, the housing on the farm has very little value of capital value for the farm worker. When his employment with the owner comes to an end, obviously he's got nothing left, and I think that puts him in a very poor position and it must be looked at. I think a different approach is therefore required to assist farm workers to accumulate collateral and assets by means of off-farm homes and ownership. This should not be pursued by means of giving people competing rights on the same piece of land, Which obviously, as I spoke out, lead to conflict and obviously to detriment of all the parties. Moreover, the services such as electricity, hospitals, it was also alluded to this morning, clinics, schools, shops and sport facilities that do not exist on farms. And obviously municipalities is also in a position that they find it difficult to provide these on services on farms. So it makes sense that people move towards centres where these facilities are available, and also for them to acquire better position in employment. If I can just maybe very shortly tell you what our position, our common outlook on this is, and this is an extract from AgriSA's comments on the proposal for a new housing strategy. We know that, in our opinion, the following principles should inform the future policy of farm worker housing as well as tenure. First of all, I think we must realize and accept that farms are production units and not residential units. It is used for that. It's an economic situation where people obviously make use of the land to produce food. Housing on farms should obviously be of good quality if there is a need, and there is normally a need for the core people working on the farm to remain on the farm, but it must have minimum standards and should apply, minimum standards should apply in this regard. And I think such standards should be similar maybe to the housing standards that is in respect of the RDP houses or better. I think the housing situation obviously remains the responsibility of the state, and the cost thereof should be borne by the state. So we should devise methods also to have that applicable to the farming sector. The policy should promote real empowerment. In other words, it must put people in a better position, also empowering them to get their property rights to a house of their own, which is obviously for their own benefit. Obviously, people must also have economic opportunities, and they do not exist in the farming in the rural areas at the rate that it used to be before. So opportunities should be created so that people are not solely dependent on the agricultural sector. What I'm talking about here is maybe one can create value-adding activities in the rural areas which make the availability of better employment situation better. Obviously, that tells us that rural development should be a priority, and obviously additional economic activities and opportunities should be created. And one of the issues that comes to mind is obviously biofuel at the moment is one of the issues that government has negatively looked at, but we still believe that that can enhance and create opportunities in the sector. The aim should be to absorb people, especially the youth, into the mainstream of the first economy, and for this purpose quality education facilities are also needed, which is also not really of the same standard in the rural areas. The necessary infrastructure must be in place in terms of transport, health services, sanitation, schools and other recreation facilities. And obviously people should, as far as possible, be accommodated within their family environment. I think that is most important, to create an environment where people can understand and value their family culture. Farm workers who wish to farm should also receive preferential treatment in terms of LRAC funding, because they have the skills, they already have are on the farms and they know how to do that. And also, obviously, there should be additional support for those farm workers who decide to become part of the LRAC programs. Then the policy should also be compatible with the principles contained in our strategic plan for agriculture, and also the other existing policy legislation and programs such as GISA should be taken into account when formulating such a policy. So if I can turn to recommendations, I think before we formulating more concrete proposals, AgriSA wishes to reiterate and allude to the following aspects. I think farm workers are an integral part of the production system on farms and should, from an economic point of view also, but also from a social perspective, receive proper treatment. I wouldn't really want to stress it, because I think from what you've heard this morning, it is not the rule, but maybe the exception. And as far as that is concerned, maybe I can just refer to a report which I received from the CCMA, and which I would like to table to just compare from a Department of Labor what the position of the farming sector is. If you look at it overall, which is actually a better picture to then take, it shows you that from the CCMA overviews, disputes in the agricultural sector and what goes with it has come down much more than the general trend of the overall economic situation is. So if we compare ourselves to the economy and the other sectors of the economy out there, and you look at the labor-related issues that was brought to the CCMA, it is a picture which we are proud of. I think that it spells out that the agricultural sector can be proud of what they've reached if we compare ourselves to the rest of the economy. And I would like you to look at this, because it was compiled by Mr. Glenn Comer. He's the Senior Commissioner of Dispute Management of the CCMA nationally. In this order, I would like to point out that personnel turnover is a normal and sometimes also necessary occurrence that also takes place on farms, and it should not be elevated as an inhuman event in our agricultural sector. It's an event that takes place all over the economy, as I pointed out. On-farm housing can realistically only be attached to workers being an attractive part of the production system. Otherwise, it becomes a repetitive process showing elements of a welfare approach which can hardly be expected from farmers per se. Farmers are expected to abide with the law, but mechanisms to expedite and simplify labor-related matters like the CCMA, like a CCMA type of structure, to deal with matters like evictions are maybe of importance at the moment. Against this background, AgriSS wishes to propose as follows. First of all, property of farmers should be dealt with in terms of the Constitution and in accordance with the Bill of Human Rights. Secondly, farmers should remain able and willing to accommodate accommodate workers on farm without fear of prosecution or disguised expropriation via draconic application of existing legislation, or being essentially confronted with permanent residency of farm workers. Thirdly, a dispensation in respect of off-farm housing needs to be devised as a first choice of property ownership to farm dwellers and farm workers. I think in this way we can initiate joint ventures between farmers and government that can develop this type of proposal. Then fourthly, movement from on-farm to off-farm housing should qualify for a similar situation as above, provided that the employee remains with a particular employer. Then the allocation of the 5 million hectares of agricultural land in terms of the declared presidential priorities should be factored into the process. And I think AgriSA fully supports the empowerment of farm workers through this initiative. I think it is in line with our way of thinking that people who have the knowledge and the background with farming can pursue this position better than other people. And then lastly, I think local forums should be a vehicle for excellence to oversee the implementation of these particular matters. Involvement of all stakeholders is an obvious prerequisite in this respect. So in summary and conclusion, sir, we recognize that the Constitution provides for tenure security for those whose tenure is insecure and is on record for condemning illegal evictions. AGRI also is in favor of decent housing for farm workers, and we submit input into the process that led to the adoption of the Parliament of the Extension of Security of Tenure Act when it was promulgated in 1997, and we have ever since, certain reservations regarding aspects of ESTA. The concept of giving people competing rights on the same land is problematic and has an inherent potential of conflict. For this reason, AgriSA is in favor of the off-farm option, where farm dwellers should be empowered to secure property rights to a house of their own in a town or a farm village. And we are also proposed as far back as 1996 that sustainable settlements for with farming opportunities should be created close to existing towns and cities where infrastructure already exists. I think moreover, farm workers are prime candidates for some of the government programs, particularly elder, as I've said, already have farming skills. It is critical that where settlements for farm dwellers are created, whether these are on-farm or off-farm, the necessary infrastructure needs to be provided by government and the necessary services should be provided. This remains the duty of government and particularly local governments to provide the required infrastructure and services and cannot be devolved to private landowners. I refer again then to the 5 million hectares, but I'm not going to repeat it. Farm workers and their families who move off-farm should be given priority in terms of LRAD funding or housing in rural towns. Local authorities should proactively identify and make land available for farm dwellers that move off farms. And I have incidents lately which I've reported to the CISA as well as the minister, where eviction orders do not make provision for this specific issue. And I think we find it very difficult that when an order is given, alternative accommodation is not catered for. It leaves the people then to be dumped anywhere in roads, which is unacceptable for our particular sector as well. It needs to be recognized that the primary role of producers is to produce food and fiber for the nation in a competitive global environment these days. Farmers should be assisted to do so in order for all of us to be able to buy good quality food at affordable prices. Although farmers have a role to play in creating a better life for all in rural areas and have a social responsibility to those who are employed by them, they cannot bear this burden alone. In reality, many farmers simply cannot afford to take a big social responsibility such as providing housing, grazing and water electricity free of charge to people who are not economically active in that farm and in the sector, and obviously cannot afford to pay for these services themselves. Farmers are, however, willing to work with government in finding lasting and sustainable solutions to this very real human and social challenge. I think with that, the official presentation, I have with me Mrs. Annelies Crosby, who you know, who is our internal legal advisor, but also a liaison of this committee with Parliament, and also Mr. Theo de Jager. He is the current chairman of our Land Policy Committee in Agri-SA, and if there is anything that they would like to add, I'll ask you to just give them a short opportunity. Thank you, sir.
Anything to add here?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Maybe if I could add the personal touch. I'm a farmer in Limpopo. I do. I'm a farmer in the Limpopo, and I deal with this problem of illegal occupation every day. And this act does not provide for a kind of a forum or the relationship of authority to manage the problems of occupiers on a farm. I have a problem on the farm of people who own stock. And there's nothing that controls the number of stock on the farm. There's also no relationship between the number of stock farm dwellers can keep and the carrying capacity on the land. So in actual fact, a farm owner ends up in competition with farm dwellers in dealing with stock. Even on the health care, if you do proper health care on your cattle and the cattle of farm dwellers roam amongst your cattle, you earn that money in the water. It is hard to obtain accreditation, for example, to export fruit for Eurogap and so, with a lack of services amongst farm dwellers. Very often these farm dwellers have no sewage, no running water, no electricity, and even if they do have electricity, who should pay for it? And there's no proper health care or education facilities nearby. This act also lends itself to misuse. We have one family on my farm who occupies 6 houses on other farms too, and then they lease it out to immigrants from Zimbabwe and Mozambique. We run into housing shortages for labor. Very often you have laborer who resigns from your farm and starts to work for the farm next door. But because your houses are in a better condition or better service, they stay on those houses even though they do not work on the farm any longer, and you cannot evict them. And there is also no forum where you can thrash out this kind of problems. There is in some of the provinces, like in our own land reform forum, but we do not deal with those kind of problems simply because very seldom the NGOs would attend, and the Department of Land Affairs in the northern provinces, they are at the moment focusing on restitution, which also pose problems for illegal occupation. I lost a farm in restitution where laborers who used to work for the previous owner and who worked for me for almost a decade remained on the farm, but they were not part of the land claimants. And the land claimants are stuck with him. Being beneficiaries of land reform, they cannot get their farming operations off the ground because the occupiers already farm on that land and they cannot get rid of him. So in practice, there are so many problems with this legislation that I really think this calls for practical solutions on a local level where we need all the stakeholders, also the agribusinesses, the banks, the department, not only of land affairs, but also of water and forestry, and of environmental affairs, to sit in and thrash out solutions for that particular area. It became increasingly hard to be a competitive farmer on the global market with the way this kind of legislation constrains.
Should we proceed?
Okay, I don't really have much to add. I don't know whether there will be an opportunity for questions later on, but I think if we can leave the committee with the impression of how complex a problem this really is, and how important it is to come up with innovative solutions for this, I think this would have been a meeting well worth having.
Hello. After all these presentations, we're going to take questions and comments, and as well as responses. So, for now, we're just taking presentations. Thank you, Mr. Bosman. Thank you, Fio. We are now ready to take the presentation by Mr. Janiro from WFA.
Voorzitter, TLGHR wil weer eens sy misnoo bekend maak oor die valse beskuldigings dat boere al skuldig maak aan onwettige uitsettings.
Dear Chairperson, the TLUSA just wants to record its displeasure at the wrongful accusations that farmers make themselves guilty of illegal evictions.
Solank as wat landbou uitgesonder word om aan werknemers permanente verblyfregte te voorsien, sal hierdie situasie nie verander in terme van uitsettings nie.
As long as agriculture remains singled out as the one employer compelled to provide accommodation for its employees, this problem will not be resolved.
Grondeienaars het verhuising op plase geskep om vir die werknemer ook 'n beter gesinslewe daar te stel.
Landowners have created housing on their farms to provide better social conditions for their farm workers, their employees as well.
Hierdie praktyk strek nou tot nadeel van die werkgewer deurdat die behuising wat vir werknemers geskep is, nou deur voormalige werknemers beset word.
And this practice now counts against the landowners in that former employees keep on occupying this occupation provided for them while they were employees.
Dit gebeur gereeld dat voormalige werknemers wat verblyfreg op die plaas het,
deur hul optrede dit ondraaglik maak vir die grondeienaars.
It happens frequently that former employees who have right of occupation, I don't know exactly what the exact term is, but who have the right to be there, acquired the right to be on the land, that they make it unbearable for the landowner by their conduct.
Byvoorbeeld, vee wat onbeperk aanteel en volgens ooreenkomst nie beheer word nie.
For instance, stock that increases in an uncontrolled way and are not restricted in the sense that was agreed to.
Onwettige bedrywighede wat op die plaas vind, soos smokkelary.
Illegal activities being conducted on the farm, such as smuggling.
Hierdie optrede laat die grondeienaar met geen ander keuse as om die hof te nader om die betrokkenes in te perk of selfs uit te sit nie.
This kind of practice leaves the landowner with no other alternative but to approach the court for an eviction order or at least an order of restraint, a restriction order on the people who occupy the farm, who are still on the farm.
Dit is echter verder ook geen hoë koste wat die grondeienaar hierdie aansoek moet rig.
However, there is a high cost, financial cost linked to these applications for the landowner.
TLE Suid-Afrika keer onwettige afsettings teen sterkste af.
The TLU South Africa is completely opposed to illegal evictions.
Indien dit ergens gebeur, sal TLE SA die inligting wil ontvang om daarmee te handel.
And if such cases should occur anywhere, then the TLUSA would gladly hear of it so that they can deal with it.
Verskeie kere is aantuigings gemaak. By nadere ondersoek het dit gebleik dat die prosedures wel gevolg was.
On numerous occasions, allegations were made, and on investigation it then was found that the correct procedure was indeed followed.
Weereens is dit groeperings wat landbou in diskrediet wil bring.
And once again it's a case of groups who want to bring agriculture into discredit.
Die vraag word maar net weereens gevra, hoekom dan die staat nie sy verantwoordelikhede nakom soos wat voorbeelde vanoggend genoem is, waar daar aantuigings is, maar die betrokkenes word nie dan gehelp in die proses.
And the question needs to be asked once again why the state then does not perform its duty as in cases where that were quoted earlier today.
Daar is voorgeskrewe wetgewing wat gevolg moet word om enige iemand van die eiendom te af te sit.
There's a prescribed legal process that has to be followed to evict any person from land.
Indien so 'n uitsetting deur die hof toegestaan word, word die voorgeskrewe prosedures gevolg vir uitsetting.
And if such an eviction is granted by a court, then the prescribed procedure is followed.
En dit is nou ons mening juist waar die probleem begin ontstaan, omdat die betrokkenes nie wil gehoor gee aan die uitspraak van die hof nie.
And that, according to us, is where the problem originates, in that the persons who then get the eviction order are not prepared to follow it as ordered. They don't comply with the order.
Daar bestaan verskeie wetgewing wat impak het op die arbeidsmag in landbou.
There are numerous pieces of legislation which bear on the situation of employment in the agricultural sector.
Dit het gevolg gehad dat oor die laaste dekade meer as 60% werksverliese op permanente arbeid was.
This has led to a situation where over the past 10 years there has been a loss of 60% in employment in the of permanent employment in the agricultural sector.
Wat gevolglik 'n groter werkloosheid teweeg bring.
And this causes an increase in unemployment.
As ek net vir myself verduidelik, as ek praat van permanente arbeid, baie van die permanente arbeid is deur tydelike arbeid dan vervang.
If I could just explain, many of these permanent employees have then been replaced by part-time employees, part-time workers.
Erken jy dat daar meer as 60% minder arbeid in die landbou is?
I do not claim that there's 60% less work to be done in the agricultural sector or less labor. It's just that permanent labor has been replaced by occasional or seasonal labor.
Van die poste wat vakant geraak het is nie weer gevul nie en is daar in 'n baie groot mate oorgegaan na pendelarbeid waar dit moontlik is.
Many of the vacant posts have not been filled, and the posts have then been filled with I would say occasional workers who perform the tasks.
Temporary workers, yes.
In but op 'n ander plek woon agter is nie op die plaas. Oh, and these are commuting workers who are not based and permanently based on the farms where they then perform such temporary work.
As gevolg van die wetgewing is daar baie behuising op plase tot nie gemaak om te voorkom dat daar onregmatige persone hulle intrek neem in die huise.
As a result of the legislation, a lot of housing on farms has been destroyed just to prevent illegal occupants from occupying these houses.
Dit blyk dat die staat die landbou wil misbruik om die land se behuisingstekort te help verlig.
And it appears that the state is abusing the farmers to provide housing and in order to relieve the housing shortage in the country.
Die uitgangspunt van ons boere is, die landbouers is, om juist ons werknemers op 'n goeie, gesonde basis te huisves.
The point of departure for the farmers is that they really want to accommodate their own employees in a healthy shelter and provide them with healthy housing.
En geen industrie behalwe die landbou waar permanente huisvesting geskaf word, word daar van die industrie verwag om by nadiensbeëindiging nog steeds huisvesting te verskaf nie.
In no other industry is there a requirement that the employer is required to keep on providing housing and accommodation after the termination of such employment.
Selfs nie is die staat nie, byvoorbeeld Weermag en SAPD-lede moet huisvesting aanbring.
And this applies not even to the state. For instance, members of the police service or of the National Defense Force have to vacate housing once their contract or their relationship of employment is terminated. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairperson.
Thanks, Mr. General. Nafu? Mr. Mapangula, are you ready?
Thank you, sir.
I think we have circulated the copies of your presentation.
I think they have been circulated.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir. unfortunately, I only met this copy here, so I will jump in and out of it in terms of this presentation. First, I would like to thank the Portfolio Committee for having allowed us the opportunity also to come and share. I'm with Mr. Joe Gondo, who has just arrived. I wanted to say whatever I want to say, or we are going to say, by quoting on what Mr. Laurie Bosman has said, the very first statement in his introductory remarks, where he talks about that this issue is very sensitive, emotionally charged and complex. I believe it's like that, because in this sector of agriculture, somehow we are dealing with the real issues that have placed us where we are today as a country. But unfortunately, as NAFU, we believe that not enough attention was given to the whole issue of land and agriculture in particular, and those who are exercising or doing work in this sector. And therefore later on in our recommendation we will really want us to begin to revisit this thing. In many ways this area is compounded by people who, some of them, are very intransigent. And in their attitude, in their way in which you deal with this issue of land. Now I'm going back to the statement of NAFU. Since 1994, the government of South Africa has put in place a number of instruments and legislation and other measures towards the realization of the Constitution of South Africa that provide for the right to have access to adequate housing and protection against arbitrary eviction. Yet despite these efforts by government, evictions are regular occurrences in our country. I think those who have statistics have given us the indications. Now these might be false or what, but the reality is that that issue is with us. And I think we are here today because a lot of our people have become victims of the eviction. Whether you call them illegal or illegal, but at the end of the day, people, human beings have suffered under the kind of treatment that they have received from other human beings. NAFU South Africa noted that a range of documents have reached our offices over this matter, including human rights reports making the matter of eviction to our country an urgent concern, requiring immediate action that are seen strongly with overall land reform solutions. Between 1995 to 2005, it was reported that the UN Commission on Human Rights that 8,679 people in this country, 826,000, had been evicted, and out of this number, a large number of them were black farm dwellers. Also understanding that large number of black South Africans that still live on farms, owned mostly by whites, by 201 census. 29 million were foreseen just as a matter that is with us for a long time. That's nothing concern are the following. This situation is of great concern to NAFU in the protection of the interests of farmers we serve and as the sector, especially as farm evictions play out in a complexity of dynamics where the poorest and most vulnerable members of our society are the key victims who are evicted without prior notice and at times in the most inhuman manner that poses human rights questions. The gender nature of the eviction concerns the union whose efforts towards women empowerment is central. Further reports show that some evictions are not abating but increasing and continuing. The complexity of the legislation on eviction and it allowing for an urgent eviction makes eviction shift and lack of adherence
any procedure and any other requirement of thought around alternative accommodation. On the side of emerging farmers, NAFU, South Africa, observe the history of our country that makes the issue of rights and land complex, as the procedural requirements are not clear cut, and often there is an overlap of rights and law. The issue of eviction must not be placed solely in the hands of the goodwill of the farmer, but clear procedures and law must be in place. Therefore, NAFU recommends as follows. The situation requires an urgent holistic approach with realistic action that would assist one in need for information around evictions that is accurate and updated. Need for voices of farm dwellers and farmers to be heard. Review and tighten legislature for both occupiers and owners. Request that the Human Rights Council urges the nation to adhere to the call of the UN Special Rapporteur and adequate housing for a moratorium on evictions and until all national, provincial and local legislation, policies and administrative action. Implementation of well-resourced programs for information and awareness around eviction and related issues of land rights. Create new sustainable settlements in farming areas. For example, the idea of agri-villages. The issue of land tenure and labor rights must be separated. The farming landscape must change to accommodate different types of settlement and viable economic alternatives. There is a need to restrict the practice of seeking urgent eviction orders without prior and full exploration of all alternatives, such as suitable accommodation, and without giving adequate notice to those to be evicted. I want to end by adding some of the recommendations which we have discussed at different levels. One of those is that, as NAFU, we believe there is a need for an almost Cordesa-like meeting for all the farmers, those who have something to do with farming. And part of that, the agenda must be, one of the items on the agenda must be the whole issue of the Constitution, the Section 25, which has given so much protection, and people time and again run to Section 25. And under that, they do all sorts of things that have shown the inhumanity of men to men. And therefore, we believe that if that can happen, definitely, we will begin to address the essence of the problem as far as the land is concerned, as far as those rights, the farm rights are concerned, and many, many, many other things. But at the moment, because farmers themselves have not really, both black and white, face each other to begin to analyze and interpret and interrogate what farming is supposed to be. The other thing related to that, we believe that the state must re-look into this thing and begin to say, in the light of so many farmers that own vast tracts of land, to the point where one farmer would own almost 40 farms alone. And it's not just hearsay. I come from the Free State, I know, can take you there. Track of land from Bloemfontein right up to Lady Brent, owned by one man. I don't think it's fair. Therefore, we need to begin to revisit this issue and the distribution of land. And when we do that, we'll be able to address. One of the things, when these farm dwellers are being evicted in farms, they create a strain on the infrastructure of the local municipality. Because these people develop the shacks around the locations and so on. And actually, some of the farmers say, go to the location, go there, that's where it is. We believe that needs to be stopped. Because that creates a strain on some of the municipalities who don't have the kind of tax base that can make them survive. We believe if that can be done, somehow it will also help the whole issue of land reform and helping our people to get access to land. Townships must not be seen as farms, must not be turned into farms. Townships must be seen, or land around the towns or the communities, must be seen as productive land, where we need to begin to create industries and so on, so that the people there can be able to survive, but must not be turned into farms. We believe if we do those, some of these things, we'll begin to address this issue in a more holistic and a creative way, where at the end we can be able to live harmoniously together. But if that doesn't happen, thank you, sir.
Thanks, Mr. Mapangula. Toski is ready, but what I will do, I'll give the department 5 minutes, and when we come back from tea, we will then do questions and comments. Mr. Gwanya?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I'm going to ask Mr. Ndlu Shabane, who is dealing with the issue of the implementation of Kenya legislation and EFTA legislation and labor tenancy legislation. But just to note that one of the things which we dealt with when we were dealing with the Murder Creep case in the Department of Land Affairs was a scenario where we found that there was a practice of
what is the department doing now? Is it making a presentation, or is it going to be part of answering the question? We are a bit lost. Can I just get clarity?
No, they're making a presentation and they'll also respond to some of the issues that have been raised. Yes, Mr.
Bai. What I'm saying is that when we're dealing with the Murder Creep case, one of the phenomena that we were coming across was what practice was called the shack farming. Some of the land owners who would allow or leave or do not stop, because normally if you own land, you should be able to stop the people who are occupying the farm. But some of the landowners, because they wanted to sell the farm to the state and the state would have to pay for that farm, they would have allowed people to occupy that land and then encourage the state to sell that farm. That is what we saw during the Murder Creep case. Ndlu, you can go ahead. Thank you, Chair.
We'll try to be very, very brief. I think a lot has been said about existing legislation that seeks to regulate farm evictions. Specifically, a lot has been said about EFSA and the Labour Tenant Act. Chairperson, as we try and say what government is doing, we will also try and respond to the questions or the issues that have been raised. I think attempts indeed have been made to review those two pieces of legislation. And as the different speakers have said, I mean, you could hear some of them are saying EFSA is too difficult for the farmers, and civil society saying EFSA is not effective enough. We believe the critical issue for this is effective enforcement of legislation. And I think this is where we want to admit as the state that we could have done more. And we intend to do precisely that going forward. We'll come back to that. Again, the issue of consolidation of EFSA and LTA, we've spoken about that in the past, where we are saying we wanted to separate the issue of providing long-term tenure security through land ownership, through acquisition of rights in land, rather than just simply relying on enforcement of legislation of people's rights on land. We have in the interim the PIE amendment bill that has gone to the cabinet committee, and it should be going through the processes, and I'm hoping the committee, the portfolio committee on land affairs, will be looking together with the portfolio committee on housing, because as soon as this bill becomes law, it will be administered by the Department of Land Affairs. I think Theresa has spoken to those figures. We collaborated with social surveys in determining the extent and the location densities of farm people living on commercial farmland in South Africa, approximately 2.8 million people. And it shows the high concentration areas. I'm sure some of the members here have seen this. The biggest number being in KwaZulu-Natal and then so on. But what is it that we are doing? I think this will respond to some of the issues raised by both Inkunzi and AgriSA. The introduction of the Land and Agrarian Reform Program, LARP, one of the 24 apex priorities, which seeks to, among other things, acquire land at scale, with farm workers being a priority, as has been suggested. I think we are aware of these aspects of priorities, and that one of them is LARP. We are already, through our proactive land acquisition strategy, acquiring land that accommodates farm dwellers. We have developed new funding models. One of the funding models we have developed is what we call a full subsidy that we will use primarily to target to acquire land for purposes of providing long-term tenure security to farm dwellers. The minister has signed off on it, but we obviously have got to get through National Treasury. Hopefully, if we do, we should be able to implement it in the next financial year. We've established a land legal services panel. We have not in the past have had this particular panel. As some of my colleagues have mentioned, we have, to a large extent, dependent on civil society to provide these services. What we are saying is that we are going to be providing top legal services to protect or to enforce our legislation. It is going to be expensive, and farm dwellers deserve to get best legal representation as well. So that is what we are going to be doing. We've got a mediation panel. Some of the issues, the conflicts on the farms would require mediation. They may not require to be referred to the courts. A mediator can intervene. A matter can be resolved. The panel is already operational. We've got a toll-free call center where people can call so that they can access both the legal services and the mediation services. The minister launched the land rights awareness campaign. Some of the members here, particularly of civil society, may be saying we have not had much of this. It's because we have not gone full scale in terms of publicity, because we want to make sure that all our systems are in place and are fully functional. In conclusion, Chairperson, I think I concur with most of the colleagues that farm dwellers are yet to enjoy the fruits of freedom. In terms of the large land acquisition, they will become a priority for land acquisition to provide long-term tenure security, because we believe that is the long-term solution rather than just enforcing a law to protect them where they are. New land acquisition model, I've spoken about that. And the land rights awareness campaign, the sharing of information that has been spoken to, we are already having that in place.
Thanks, Drew. Colleagues, let's break for 10 minutes to break, and then we come back to comments and questions.
Mm.